situation and jump head over heels into the conflict that Hezbollah started?
Okay, so first of all, there are three big players involved on that team, and it's not just Iran, it's China, because of the oil sales to China and the relationship and the weapons purchases and sales. So this all is integrated in a global problem. That's why it's so dangerous. Now, Hamas, as you had pointed out, you don't think they'd do it without Iran. There's no way they would have done it because they realize that they are not strong enough. There's not enough Hezbollah, not enough rockets, not enough people to do this on their own.
Right.
So strategically, they had to have coordination. They have to have resources. They have to have weapon shipments in. And that has been facilitated through the Iranians. And then, of course, the Iranians support Hezbollah in Syria and Lebanon. And, of course, you've got the Iranian border. I mean, it's a the Iraqi border between Iran and Israel and Jordan in that space. But Iranian missiles can still reach Tel Aviv. Now, in a global strategic problem, the Chinese are laughing as they fund and support Iran. They are supporting backhandedly Russia. The United States, you said, could take care of them in a second. But the problem is, who's in charge to make decisions in the United States right now? And how willing are they to go to war on a global scale? So there is a significant advantage, in my mind, with Iran, Hamas, and, of course, Iranian and Russian situation that puts the United States with this leadership in a position that they'd be actually afraid to take action. So I don't think they're going to fight.
Yeah.
And I think we have let down our allies in almost every case in the last, since World War II. We have let them down.
Okay, who are we letting, Jimmy? Who are we letting down today? Probably which one of our allies, in your opinion, are we letting down today?
Well, what I'm saying is historically we have let them down. Vietnam, the South Vietnamese, we let them down. We promised them we'd be allies. The Iraqi people, we let them down. And, of course, they were overtaken by a Shiite majority as we started that war. You know, we're the ones that started that war. The Afghan people, we spent 20 years attempting to do something there, and then we walked away and left an angry, bitter populace that can't trust us. The Europeans and what's happening in Ukraine is so contradictory. We're not bringing it to an end. We're making it go longer.
I agree.
So in each one of these cases, we've had disastrous foreign policy decisions, and we've left people hanging. So who wants to trust the United States at this point? It's almost an embarrassment to say. So what will happen if Israel is going to be overrun and overwhelmed by the Iranians, by Hezbollah in the north, and by Hamas working from the inside in the underbelly? You know, the United States, would the Biden administration, who has favored Iran, who has favored Hamas, would they, you know, and this is a continuation of the Obama policies, would they step in and say we're going to fight for Israel? I don't think so. You there?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Yeah, so this is a very big problem right now.
Yes, it
is.
From
a global scale, because we may end up, by all this happening, then we do end up getting into a direct conflict, and then, of course, it is based on very incompetent policy.
Yeah.
And there are people in the background that would like to see not only, you know, big global corporations, World Economic Forum people, but, you know, the arms manufacturers, the MIC type of people that are, you know, kind of pushing these policies. But more importantly, the incompetent and incomprehensible idiots inside Washington that look at the world from an ideological view and not from a realist view.
Yeah.
This is the problem we're facing right now.
It's gotten very complicated. There's no question about that. And listening to what you're having, listening to your train of thought, et cetera, I think that we could, at this moment in time, be on the precipice of that third world war that you were talking about, Jim.
it may be Armageddon. You know, maybe it's biblical at that point. And what happened this last week was something that was from basically way, way back in history before civilized nations actually started, you know, interacting with one another.
And are you now exactly what are you talking about the?
I'm talking about Hamas.
Yeah, okay.
Decapitating babies.
All right.
Going into homes and killing elderly, taking hostages, killing people, innocent kids at a peace festival, a peace concert on the border with, you know, commandos, and then walking up and shooting innocent young kids in the back as they're hiding to pretend to be dead.
Yeah.
And there's no, in my mind, no justification for it, but I'm not thinking from my mind. I'm thinking from an opposition's mind. Hamas wants to create an overreaction that will isolate Israel from the rest of the world and keep someone like the Biden administration from supporting them. So because of the response, and people, I think many people are going, oh my gosh, what are they doing in Gaza?
Yeah.
They're already starting to talk about, oh my God, the Israelis have gone too far. They've gone too far. There is no going too far when you're fighting evil, in my view.
I agree.
You have to end it.
I would agree with that, Jim.
You have to end it.
Okay.
And Hamas right now is not representative of human nature. They're representative of an uncivilized, absolute attack. The problem is it creates a bigger problem from the global strategic view, and we do not have a competent leadership in America right now to manage the problems that we are involved in, and partly because we are the catalyst for much of it.
I want to talk about that a little bit, Jim. You say that we're the catalyst behind much of it. Would you elaborate on that statement, please?
Yeah, so the anger and the frustration has been, look, what has the Biden administration been doing? What have they spent over $4 billion over the last 2 years doing? They've been going to Middle Eastern and African countries and promoting LGBTQ homosexual rights. They've spent billions of dollars pushing for that kind of crazy policy to in these countries that absolutely hate it. They do not. They are very conservative when it comes to sexual morals.
Yeah,
they hate that. But the Biden administration is creating inflammation. So when they say, "Hey, you're the devil," a lot of people believe it because of these types of policies.
United
States went into Iraq and failed to bring stability to it. And for a long time, but once they brought stability to it, then we ran away. We went to Afghanistan. We failed to follow through with that over 20 years. We walked away.
So well, we're not the only ones. Let me stop you just for a second. We're not the only ones who totally failed in Afghanistan. That started with France and then went on to Russia. Both of those countries totally failed in Afghanistan, Jim.
Well, yeah, but we went and invaded. The Russians invaded. They tried to stifle it. I'm not sure what you're talking about with the French. The Brits were there a long time ago and never were successful there either.
Right. Okay.
But it was but the problem was we never followed through, and we did not do it quickly with what we wanted to achieve. There was no clear agenda. And there was, honestly, it was a failure by military leadership that was unwilling to actually win a fight. And again, I will go back to my same philosophy. In war, there is no winner.
Yeah.
But in a fight, there is.
Okay.
And that's the one that comes out stronger. And in this case, we came out weaker. And we've armed the Taliban. And the Taliban is shipping weapons around the world to people trying to undermine the United States. And at the simultaneous, so the bigger problem, Al, and this is a serious problem, is this administration has sided with the Iranians. They have sided with, you know, protected kind of the relationship with China. They've been very incompetent in the relationship with Russia that created the circumstances for the Ukrainian invasion. And when I say that, I don't think we should be supportive of Russia at all by any means, but you have to work strongly with them in order to keep them from taking this action. They failed because they saw weakness in Afghanistan. But here's the biggest problem. As the United States and this Biden administration has gone forward, we've actually undermined our own national security because of the border. So you have had, and if you're the Chinese, there have been between 50 and 100,000 military-age male Chinese that have come across the border illegally and are absolutely untracked right now. So if you want to start an insurgency, you want to create havoc, that's 10 5 to 10 divisions worth of soldiers that you could operate with in the United States.
Yeah.
Not to mention the 40 to 50,000 people from countries that we have no ability to check background on. Those are Middle Eastern terrorist-connected countries. Yemen, Syria, or Afghanistan. There's no, you know, you can't go back and do a background check on them, and they're released in the United States. And the leader of Hamas yesterday, or last night our time, actually made a public statement that on Friday the 13th, he would like Muslims around the world to do uprising attacks everywhere. Now think about what that would do to the world and the globe. You cannot manage that many people that are attempting to work inside countries to undermine problems, even if only a few percentage of them are actually terrorists or people willing to sacrifice themselves for a bigger cause.
Okay, Jimmy, let me ask you a question. Put some numbers on that as far as the U.S. is concerned, would you?
So in the United States, I say between 50 and 100,000 military-age Chinese males that could be trained and, I mean, somebody paid their way to get here. They didn't just come, you know, by themselves because of they were meager and poor.
Right.
They came here. They could very well be, even if a small percentage of them, just say, you know, 10% of 100,000. That's 10,000 potential PLA operatives or intelligence collection gathering people that could operate here. From Afghanistan alone, there's been over 10,000. And these are people the Border Patrol has actually documented.
Yeah.
Not the ones that they have not documented. But think about how much damage if you had just a handful of people in malls around the country or in you know, neighborhoods or big urban areas or doing exactly what they did in Israel, attacking, you know, innocent civilians in their homes or maybe in schools or hospitals. How much havoc could you create?
And a how lot. Much would the yeah, a lot, lack? Certainly. A lot, Jim. No question about that.
And we have failed to secure the border and understand where these people are because the latest statistics show that 99% of the people that have come across the border in the Biden administration have been released to the United States, and they cannot track them. They don't even know where they are.
I'd like you to elaborate on that a little bit. Be a little quantitative, if you would, Jim.
Over 7 million people have illegally crossed the border. And again, if you've only got... If just 1% of that is 700,000 people. If 1% are hating America and would be interested or get involved in damaging the United States,
yeah,
700,000. How many people are actually in the United States Army right now? About 420,000. We have been focusing on developing a woke army where you can do, as an infantry soldier, you can transition from a male to a female, which basically means you can't even operate for, you know, can't even deploy for a year or two. Oh, and by the way, you're going to be on meds for the rest of your life, and taxpayers are paying for that. You're focused on diversity, equity, inclusion. You are not training, and you've been giving away all your ammunition to the Ukrainians right now, and you're now running, you were running out then, and now you've got to take care of the population of the Israelis to keep them from being overrun and destroyed because of the politics of that. So we are in a very, very difficult situation.
I think that the listeners would very definitely have to agree with that, Jimmy. You put a very interesting perspective on the illegal immigration situation, and I appreciate you doing that, as I know our listeners do. Where do you want to go with this now, Jim? You've made a very, very thought-provoking point. Where do you want to go?
So, if you're a strategist, again, if I, you know, I'm an intelligence officer. My job was to think like the enemy. If I'm an Israeli, I'm worried right now about how much ammunition I have in my Iron Dome capacity.
Right.
If I'm an Iranian and Hamas, I'm having Hamas continually firing dumb rockets to use up all the ammunition in the Iron Dome system.
Right.
Once you use up the Iron Dome ammunition, then all of a sudden you can send more sophisticated targeted missiles, which are very capable, and massive amounts of drones into Israel. You could actually do incredible damage, and the Israeli military would have a very difficult time sustaining those operations.
Well, do you think that now you're assuming that the country, the power, for lack of better terms, that's going to take the initiative is Iran. Do you put a time frame on when you think that could happen, Jim?
In the next couple of weeks. The moment the Israelis get bogged down inside Gaza and simultaneously have to work the northern territories with Hezbollah.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, your military capacity is, you know, you don't have it. And this is a perfect surprise opportunity. Will the Arabs and the Iranians be able to successfully overcome, you know, this challenge? It'll be very crazy, but I'm afraid that what happens is Israel gets to the point where they won't think they don't survive. The Iranians already have the capacity for some level of nuclear experimentation, if not the possibility to make a bomb. We could see Israel use nuclear war for survival, and then a retaliation, and of course, then we are absolutely in an incredible, just an unbelievable place. And oh, by the way, you can see inside the United States right now, Al, people protesting in support of the massacres of Hamas.
Yeah, I know that.
Which means there is an organized, coordinated effort within 24 hours to get pre-printed posters supporting Hamas in major urban areas around the United States, including in some of our educational institutions.
It's already happened, Jim. It started to happen yesterday, and the main leader in terms of that particular action was definitely Harvard, one of the most prestigious schools on the Eastern Seaboard. A fairly large number of students at Harvard are absolutely chagrined at what the United States is doing. I'm not agreeing with them. I'm just saying that's how they feel, Jim.
Well, what it is a very well-coordinated orchestration propaganda effort, and it shows the lack of confidence in our education over many, many years, decades. But it's actually not as many students as you would think, because it's actually a coordinated effort with organizations that had those statements written up already.
Yeah.
So, again, it shows the level of influence and the infiltration of a system that tries to be open.
Yeah.
And the ideologues in the United States, the people that the intellectual elite, if you will, that think, oh, the world is such an easy place to live in.
It's not. It's getting more and more difficult, Jim.
It is a painful place to live in.
Right.
It is an ugly place to live in. And if you don't have strength, if you don't show competence, if you have – I mean, everybody's looking at Joe Biden and laughing, thinking, what the hell is he going to do?
Right.
And it's very apparent his administration is incompetent.
Right.
So, you know, that puts the United States – it puts our us in a very difficult situation.
Yes, it does.
And I'm – again, I've been afraid of the – of a basic collapse of the system for quite a long time, and what I'm more afraid of right now is that we get into a situation where we are so basically, how much would it take for the Biden administration to clamp down and shut things down because of a terrorist operation in the United States and do what they've tried to do with COVID and use a terrorist event to do it, and use the law enforcement, Homeland Security, on the guise of protecting America to shut down all freedom.
Isn't that interesting? Jimmy, I want to get into that. I want to do it in another segment, though. I know you're going to be on the road for at least two more hours. Where are you right now? You're in about St. Louis.
Illinois on my way to Indiana, heading to Clarksville tonight. I will be on the road for 10 more hours.
Okay, I want to talk in the next... I want to get this segment up, and I want to talk in the next segment about the stability of the American government, because it's very interesting to me. The American government today, starting with... Not the most important component of it, but a very important component of it, i.e. the House of Representatives, is not stable right now. We are not together in Washington, D.C., in the ability to withstand some very sophisticated political attacks, Jim. I firmly believe that.
Yeah, well, military attacks is what I'm concerned about. Political stuff, we've always gone through these hassles.
Yeah.
And I'm really not too worried about the House of Representatives, but I am worried about the budget. I'm worried about the policies that will come out of this and the response with lack of vision, lack of strategic capability, and, of course, with a very incompetent and weak leadership.
We're going to get into that into the next segment, you guys. I will call Jim in about an hour. So I'm going to put this one up in the next. It's going to take me at least an hour with all of my new equipment. But I'm going to get back to Jim within an hour. Jimmy, does that work for you?
Yeah, give me a call. See where I am.
And you know exactly what I want to talk about in that next hour. And that is the strength of our government, which I think is probably at a pretty minimal level, Jimmy.
Watching the fall of Rome in real time, right?
Thanks, Jim. I think I'm going to go out and get some whiskey. Jimmy, I'm going to call you in 60 minutes.
Okay.
Thanks, bud.
Talk to you later.
Yeah.